comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet. You're welcome here, and we're glad you are here. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time tonight, a very special welcome. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good one to get into. Tonight is K-Files night. Now, for those of you who are new, you don't know about this. We have a free weekly newsletter. It is called the K-Files E-Zine. And the K-Files E-Zine, when we say free, it really is free, no strings attached. We send it out starting right after the show on Friday nights. So if you have not yet subscribed, you've got time to do so. Go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. You'll see the button that says K-Files E-Zine. And just click that and subscribe. You'll get a confirmation email. Click the confirmation link, and you are in. It's always better to be in than out. You have been seeing Jerry Wills during the commercial breaks. You see Jerry Wills talking about a drawing that we're going to have. Now, we had one last month. This is different. Last month, the little gift was a rock that was picked up at the time and space portal in southern Arizona. Now, Jerry doesn't deface the sites. He doesn't take a hammer and chop out a little piece of rock or anything like that. This is just a rock that's laying in the area, and he picks it up. And, you know, it's just a little memento from the area of wherever he happens to be. Well, what he's offering, what he's giving away is just a rock. It's not a chunk of gold, but it's a piece of the area of the time and space temple. The temple of time and space in Pucar in South America. As you know, he is the executive producer for Expeditions TV, and as he's also the team leader for the expeditions they take, and as they travel around the world and go to these exotic places, Jerry sometimes picks up a little artifact for us, and he's giving that away. We're going to have a drawing. The drawing, in order to be in it, you have to be in our members area. Okay, so we're going to do that on Monday, August the 31st. And we had one last month. We're doing one this month. So if you're not a member yet, you need to join. And then your name automatically goes in the hat. And Brian Jansen won he got the complete set of DVDs from Expeditions TV. And I should have looked it up. I cannot remember the lady's name that won the rock from the time and space portal in southern Arizona. This is from Pucar. So if you want to be included, you need to join the members area. It's really, really expensive. 23 cents a day. That's what it comes down to. And so if you haven't done it, tonight would be a good night. We have open line tonight, and I'm going to be putting some stuff on the table that might rock your socks. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And let's get this audio straightened out here. There we go. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and Open Line Live. We're going to do that. We're going to open the telephone lines in just a moment. I've got some interesting stuff to put on the table. You know, those of you who have been listening to the show for any length of time know that I really, really, really support NASA. Now, I don't support, and I'm not in favor of, what I think are pretty clear deceptions by NASA. And I think those need to be cleaned up and cleared out. And I think the people that are doing those need to be replaced, probably. If not, if they're doing it on direct orders from the Pentagon or someplace like that, then they have to do it. But new orders need to be cut for NASA, and the orders need to be stop that. Stop all that nonsense, you know, airbrushing the stuff out of the pictures and telling us things that aren't true. Stop that and start disclosing what you find. Be real about it and disclose what you find. Now, that needs to happen. But I support the idea of NASA. I support the idea of although it's connected to the Department of Defense, it needs to be a non-military space exploration agency. And by non-military, I mean it needs to be dedicated to science and exploration of space. And a lot of what it does is just that. We all know, though, that it is Department of Defense connected. But I am a supporter of having NASA, having a space program that is not specifically a military space program. Now, what's been going on has been very curious. Now, you remember I talked about, I guess as far back as a couple of years ago, I was talking about what is the big deal about everyone that can build a rocket wants to get to the moon. And I've asked the question, you know, well, why? You want to be the first to get there? Too late for that. The first nation to get to the moon was Russia. The first nation to put a human on the moon was the United States. So if you want to be the first of either one of those, it's gone. You can't do that. It's already been done. You can't be the first. So what's the big deal in the race to get to the moon? China says they're going. India says they have plans to go. Japan, they're already there. They don't have a human there, as far as we know, but they've already put a satellite around the moon and, you know, put it in orbit. It's there. Everyone that can that has the capability of building rockets says they're going to the moon. Now, that's Russia, China, Japan, India, and perhaps Iran. Why? All right, just keep that question in the back of your mind. I've been asking that now for a couple of years. Why? China made it pretty clear that their plans were to go there and mine for helium-3. All right, now, put this into your mind. President Bush, toward the end of his administration, not right at the end, but, you know, kind of toward the end, late in his administration, he said, all right, we're going to go back to the moon with a manned space mission. We're going to build a base on the moon, and then it's on to Mars. And everyone cheered. Everyone thought that was a great idea. Then the Obama administration comes in, And the Obama administration has a panel go through NASA's budget, which I don't think entirely was a bad idea. And the panel has concluded, number one, we don't have the money. There's just not enough money in the NASA budget to go back to the moon. And Mars is too dangerous. Boom. Just like that, the moon mission and the Mars missions were squashed. Unless, of course, the folks that you have elected ostensibly to represent you decide they're going to drop some more money into the NASA budget. And it isn't looking really good for the home team there. And so now the question is, why? And I've been asking here on the Kevin Smith Show, okay, so what is it they don't want us to see on the moon and Mars? I mean, is there really something? See, when they say we can't afford it, and they do this right after they've dropped almost $1 trillion in the laps of businesses that were some of the worst offenders of business practice in America. Huge giants like AIG. AIG took the billions that they got, passed out millions in bonuses to executives that led them into the darkness, held parties, conferences, or whatever you want to call it, at big resorts in Vegas, right here in the Phoenix area, and other places, after they got bailout money. They were in such bad shape they were about to disappear from the face of the earth. Get their bailout money? Hey, it's party time. And then turned around and denied the claims, rejected the claims that were filed by people that were on that airplane that had to make that emergency landing in the Hudson River. Now, those kind of people can get billions of dollars, but somehow Washington seems to be choking on the idea that NASA needs to get $3 billion more in their budget. $3 billion, let's see. That is the amount that was given, just like that, to the, what was that program called? Cash for Clunkers. Just like that, boom, $3 billion. But they're choking on giving NASA $3 billion more in their budget. Now, what they need to do is keep choking. If that's the quality of brain activity that's there in Washington, they need to just go ahead and choke. They need to choke on the nonsense that they are producing. All right, keep all of that in the back of your head and grab a handful of this. Back in 2007, China, in announcing their plans for the moon, said that their first lunar mission would be followed by robotic missions in subsequent years that would be broadened to landing on the lunar surface and returning to Earth, and then a brief human visit, and then the final stage, sometime around 2020, they will build a base on the moon and stay and live longer on the moon and utilize its resources. Now, listen to this quote. This is a quote from Gee. Okay? He is apparently head of their space program, and he said, as a satellite of the Earth, talking about the moon, as a satellite of the Earth, it is a large platform that never stops and needs no maintenance. A large platform. For what? Well, very little on this planet happens in a vacuum. It is all, almost everything is in response to something else. Now, the shutdown, the proposed, not shutdown, but the proposed closure of NASA's manned space explorations, that's what this committee is suggesting. All right? What's behind that? When we have been the leader in space since the Apollo missions. So what's the deal with that? And what's the deal with everyone trying to get to the moon? And what's the deal with all of a sudden it's too dangerous to go to Mars and we can't afford to go to the moon? Well, and what's the deal with China making this statement as a satellite of the Earth, talking about the moon? It is a large platform that never stops and needs no maintenance. And as I said, platform for what? Back in 2004, I think all of that stems from this, from 2004. In 2004, the U.S. Air Force published something, a plan, a flight plan, if you will, called the Transformation Flight Plan. It's 176 pages long, and it outlines what they see as what they need to do. Okay, and it's divided into near term. That means from 2004 up till 2010. We're almost there. Okay, this has, in other words, this has been going on now since 2004. And so up until 2010, that ends what they called near term. All right, then after 2010 up till 2015, it's called midterm efforts. And then there are some far-term efforts that go out beyond 2015. So we've been living within the pages of this document as far as space goes, and we've been living in it since 2004. So listen to some of the projects that they proposed back in 2004, and this is what they were saying. Look, we're developing these. We need to develop these. This has to happen. Now, see if any of this sounds cheap to you. Here we go. Number one, air-launched anti-satellite missile. This is a small air-launched missile capable of intercepting satellites in low Earth orbit. And then there is the number two, counter-satellite communication system. Provides the capability by 2010 to deny and disrupt an adversary's space-based communications and early warning systems. Okay, now when they said in 2004 this had to be done by 2010, do you think they then just sat down and nothing happened? You know that this has been going on. Counter-surveillance and reconnaissance system, that's number three. A near-term program. That means that it's to be completed by 2010. May already be completed. I don't know. A near-term program to deny, disrupt, and degrade adversary space-based surveillance and reconnaissance systems. Number four, evolutionary air and space global laser engagement called EAGLE. And these are airship relay mirrors. Significantly extends both the range of the airborne laser and ground-based laser by using airborne terrestrial or space-based lasers in conjunction with space-based relay mirrors to project different laser powers and frequencies to achieve a broad range of effects from illumination to destruction. Number five, ground-based laser propagates laser beams through the atmosphere to low Earth orbit satellites to provide robust post-2015 defensive and offensive space control capability. Hypervelocity rod bundles. You've probably seen something, some articles about these. This is where they launch a packet of rods. I don't know if they're steel, but metal rods. And they launch these rods at a target on the Earth. It's like spears from the sky. Okay? And it provides the capability to strike ground targets anywhere in the world from space. All right. Now, this is going to start getting, I mean, it's already interesting. It really picks up right here. All right. This is number 7, Orbital Deep Space Imager. A midterm predictive near real-time common operating picture of space to enable space control operations. Keep that one in the back of your mind. Orbital transfer vehicle. This is number 8. Significantly adds flexibility and protection of U.S. space hardware to post-2015, while enabling on-orbit servicing of those assets. That has to be a manned vehicle, because it's talking about being able to service space hardware. So a lot of that may be done by robots, by robotics, but when it comes to actually doing the intricate stuff that has to be done to service space vehicles and space assets, right now, the only way that can be done is for humans to go do it. That's why Hubble had to have humans come up and service the Hubble Space Telescope. All right, that's number 8. So that would have to be a manned space vehicle. All right, number 9, Rapid Attack Identification, Detection, and Reporting System. Well, the break's taking over. I'll tell you the rest when we come back, all right? Welcome back. I was listing for you these systems that the Air Force outlined back in, it was actually outlined back in 2004 in a document they published called Transformation Flight Plan, 176 pages of this. Okay, we're on number 9, Rapid Attack Identification, Detection, and Reporting System. This is a family of systems that will provide near-term capability to automatically identify when a space system is under attack. That means by 2010, it's near-term. Okay, so by 2010, that has to be operational. May already be. Number 10. Space-based radio frequency energy weapon. This is a far term. In other words, sometime after 2015. A far-term constellation of satellites containing high-power radio frequency transmitters that possess the capability to disrupt, destroy, or disable a wide variety of electronics and national-level command and control systems. It would typically be used as a non-kinetic anti-satellite weapon. I'll let you draw your own conclusions about what kind of technology that is. All right, number 11. Now, listen very, very carefully to this. This is near term. That means it has to be operational by 2010. And we're almost there. It may be operational. Are you ready? Space-based space surveillance system. And, you know, you're going, yeah, okay. So it's a surveillance system. Space-based surveillance system. Okay. Okay, now listen to this. A constellation of optical sensing satellites to track and identify space forces in deep space to enable offensive and defensive counter-space operations. Now, let me read that to you again in case you missed it. In case it just didn't fall on you like an anvil. A near-term constellation of optical sensing satellites to track and identify space forces in deep space to enable offensive and defensive counter-space operations. Who's flying in deep space? If all is as we have been told, who's in deep space? If all is as we have been told, you can't fly in deep space. For those of you who say the Van Allen radiation belt would keep you from being able to get out to the moon, well, who's in deep space? If it isn't us, if it's not humans, who's out there that we need to be able to track and identify space forces in deep space in order that we would have offensive and defensive counter space capabilities? That doesn't roll your socks down? That doesn't make your hair stand up? That doesn't fall on you like an anvil? Here in the Air Force document, and I'm not reading from the document. I'm reading from an article based on this document, the article written by Leonard David, senior space writer for space.com. And he's excellent. But it is in there. It's a transformation flight plan published by the U.S. Air Force. And I want to read it to you one more time. Get this. Space-based space surveillance system, a near-term, and based on their document, that means by 2010, a near-term constellation of optical sensing satellites to track and identify space forces in deep space to enable offensive and defensive counter space operations. Obviously, either someone is in deep space or they expect someone is coming. Now, just as I said that, I wish you could be here in the studio. You might have heard it on the over the microphone, but I doubt it. Just as I said that, just as I said, either someone's there or someone's coming, we had a big clap of thunder above me. It was really dramatic. All right. But, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to someone is either already in deep space, has that capability, or someone is on the way. Interesting that most of these were scheduled to be operational by 2010, 2 years ahead of 2012. There are a few that are scheduled for after 2015, which sort of indicates that they see maybe about a 3-year time period where things are going to be busy. And then after that, we have these plans. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines and invite you to call in with your questions or comments. And The telephone numbers are appearing on your screen on KSS TV. They are 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Let's go to the telephone and our first caller this evening. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don. Good to hear from you.
How you doing tonight, bud?
Good.
Yeah, just to expand a little bit more on where you started out about NASA's budget and everything and not being approved for more money, and you're saying $3 billion drop in a bucket. And I agree with you. $3 billion is a drop in a bucket. I agree with you. It is a drop in a bucket, but we can't have it both ways. Now, right now, all we can do is speculate. You know, do we have a secret space program?
Yes.
And if we do have a secret program, and what you were just talking about lends more credence to it on top of all the other things we've heard about a secret program, in which case, if we do, then that budget that we're giving to NASA is just cover money. It's cover money to lie to the American public. So it's
See, Don, it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. But the point is, if we do have a secret program, that's what it's been, and it's a possibility. We got to do some more speculation here. There's a possibility, if that's the case, then if they're cutting back on the budget with tight times as it is, and we're in the process of disclosure, they're saying, we're going through with disclosure. It's going to happen pretty soon, so why waste any more money on this cover NASA program that we've had for all these years lying to the public?
Yeah. Well, see, it's not your fault or mine that they've been lying to us. But I think that we need a NASA that doesn't lie to us, as opposed to this other space program. And the reason is, this other space program is all military. We need a space program that takes scientists out to the planets for exploration. And we need to be doing real science, not just exploiting things for military purposes. I'm not saying that the military is wrong in all of this. I'm not taking a position on that. I'm saying that we need a non-military scientific exploration of space. And the military cannot be non-military. So you have to have some other agency do it. They need, in my opinion, we need NASA, but we need NASA to be completely non-military, and we need them to be open, honest, and transparent. And if those directives come from Washington and have to be put into effect at NASA, I think with that, we can justify and should justify strengthening their budget. I'm for doubling their budget, okay, if we get those orders.
I totally agree with you, but you're still not really seeing where I'm coming from. What I'm saying is, if NASA has been just a cover front for the American public for this secret space program, then we got a technology that puts what we're seeing in the public eyes to shame. You know, well, they're sending horse and buggies up there, which is not needed. So what I'm saying is that horse and buggy money we're spending is wasted money. It's just a facade. It's a lie to the American public to hide the real stuff. If they've already got space exploration, you know, say, well, sure, probably the military has complete control of it all right now. It is not being used for what we would like to see it being used for. But it still would be in NASA's hands for space exploration. The, you know, it's already there, if this is all true. So what I'm saying is that $3 billion is, even though it's a small amount, it's cover money.
Well, it is cover money if they continue business as usual. But they don't have to continue business as usual. What they can do, what the administration could do, is issue directives to NASA to stop lying stop covering, and get on with the business of exploring and doing science and tell the American people what they find. They could do it. Look, it's just as easy, Don, it's just as easy to issue that directive as it was to issue the directives that caused the cover-up.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. I agree. But what I'm saying is the $3 billion then really wouldn't be nothing because they've already got the budget going into whatever program they had. If they do have that secret space program, then they already got trillions of dollars most likely going into it.
Well, they do, but you're not getting any benefit from it. The only way you're going to get benefit from it is through NASA or an agency like NASA that's non-military.
Oh, yeah, that's like we talked about before. I mentioned to you, you know, well, what's the sense in having all this Area 51 back-engineered technology if they're not ever going to break this technology out and use it in major wars or anything, or they're just going to keep it from us? You know, what's the purpose of anything for if they just keep everything hidden?
Well, I'll make no comment about that except this. Look around the Earth throughout the history of this planet and name one nation that was free when the military had all the assets.
Yeah, we're another Roman Empire, and you know, eventually, like you mentioned the other day, eventually we're going to tumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, man, thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin, good talking to you.
Good to hear from you again. All right, 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. All right, it's as easy as going to my website, clicking the link. You just scroll down, you'll see it. Click the link that says send me a flash message and send me your flash message. All right, from anywhere in the world except the USA and Canada. Folks in the USA and Canada, we got phone lines for you. We'll be back right after this. This is Open Line Live tonight. That means we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. I brought something to the table that I thought you'd be interested in, and I would be interested in your thoughts and comments on this. Here is, in print, in a publication from the U.S. Air Force called Transformation Flight Plan. In print, this statement. Space-based space surveillance system. That means it's pointed out at space. It's not looking at Earth. It's pointed at space. Near term. That means to be operational, deployed and operational by 2010, may already be there. A near-term constellation of optical sensing satellites to track and identify space forces in deep space. And I have said again and again, and I'll say it now, that means either we are out there, and by we I mean we humans, or someone else is coming. What do you think about that? Now, don't just sit around and say, I think that's weird. Go to your telephone, punch the buttons, the magic buttons that will transport you here to the studio, and tell us what you think. If you're outside the USA, you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message instead of using the telephone, but you can use the telephone. Those numbers will work anywhere in the world, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Now, I'm going to add something to some sauce to the soup here. If you can figure this riddle out, the first person to figure this riddle out, I'm going to send you free one of my DVDs, the Gods in the Garden Seminar. Okay, it's a two DVD set. I'll send it to you free if you're the first one to figure it out. So, here's the riddle. What do almonds, pecans, and humans have in common? Figure that out. Be the first, and you win. All right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Welcome back, Brent.
Welcome. Well, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
Well, to answer your riddle, they're all nuts.
You win. It couldn't be that easy. It couldn't be that easy. Okay, Brent, send me your mailing address and an email, and I'll send you the set.
Okay. What I was going to comment on all this new space stuff the Air Force wants, the area around Earth is already so crowded they're having collisions. How are they going to fit all the rest of that stuff up there?
I don't think they're having collisions.
Well, that one satellite, the Russian one, I think it was.
I don't think that was an accident.
Hmm.
How, look, we have an agency. It's us and the Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
And this agency does nothing but track everything in space down to the size of about 4 inches. And they want us to believe that two satellites, one of them the size of a city bus, collided out there and nobody saw it coming. Utter nonsense. That's just beyond the pale.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah. They're tracking things that are down to 4 inches in size. And if they're tracking that, they saw this coming.
Yeah. Unless they're asleep at the switch, which I wouldn't doubt anyway, but you know.
Well, I would prefer to think they're not asleep at the switch. I would prefer to think there were things at work that we just don't know about, and that there was some reason behind it, and hopefully some good reason, but that they didn't see it coming? Nah.
Okay, here's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you reported that they were going to shut off information on some of the asteroids or whatever that was cut that the astronomers were using?
That's right. They've done it.
What's going on? Are they going to take over the space or what?
I don't know. For the rest of the audience, Brent's referring to, astronomers were being given data from military satellites that were pointed out watching space. Now, they weren't given all the data, but they were given certain data that had to do with space rocks, asteroids, comets, etc., so that they could track what was going on out there and hopefully be able to determine if we have one incoming that could be a danger to us. And as of January, I believe it was January this year, maybe I'm wrong, it might have been June, but I remember it started with a J. I'm doing good, Brent.
Yeah, you better than I am.
But that was shut down. The satellites were not shut down, but the access to the data by the scientists, that was cut off. They don't get that data now. And these are satellites that are pointed toward space, watching space.
So in other words, they already have the satellites that are monitoring deep space.
It would appear so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, Brent, a lot of this, when you say, you know, you mentioned that these are all these systems that they want to build. Now, that's what it was in 2004. We are now in 2009, and most of these systems are built and deployed.
And probably operational.
Operational, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that one that says that its purpose is to track and identify space forces in deep space?
They're paranoid. They may have some justification, given the that they deny all this UFO stuff, but they know that some of it's got to be true, if or else they wouldn't be doing that.
Well, I think it has to be. They're absolutely certain that it's true. I think that's the case, because either we're out there in deep space, or somebody's coming.
Yeah. It's
because it's not for tracking space rocks. It's not for tracking wayward comets. It's for tracking space forces.
Forces.
And to be able to identify them.
Mm-hmm. Now, it kind of, if you go that direction, I'm kind of wondering, who is the most paranoid, and why are they paranoid? Are they the military that's thinking they're all gonna, the extraterrestrials are gonna come here and try and take over? There's that theory. Or are they the ones that want to quash the human spirit, are afraid that they'll come here and set us free? Which ones are they afraid of?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, but this is U.S. Air Force as far as the document goes. So, I don't know how to characterize what they're afraid of. Obviously, they sense some threat from deep space.
Mm-hmm.
As to what that threat is and why they think it's a threat, I don't know.
I don't know. I'll let you go, though.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. I thought the little contest would go for most of the show. Brent got it. First caller. The first one to call after I put that out, so he won. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, I'm just hanging out in the background and enjoying the show. I just had a quick comment and then I'll hang up.
All right.
I just think it's sad that, in the 50s and we, like in the early 30s and 40s, we had the radio, and then in the 60s we had the TV, and then the, then we did the mission to the moon. And this generation is just told to shut up. We didn't see anything, and we can't even do that anymore. I think it's sad that the public has less access to exploring space than it did 60 years ago. Totally sad, and a clear indication of the corruption which leads us. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll be back right after this break. Okay, it's open line live tonight. That means that if you have a question or a comment, all you have to do is pick up your telephone and dial these magic numbers, 623-444-5889, or toll free, 888-223-4599. Now, every time Ed Grimsley has been on this show, I've gotten email from people later saying, well, you know, he sounds like an honest guy, but it's just hard for me to buy the fact that there's all these UFOs up there in space above us every night. You still think so? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Kevin in North Carolina.
Hi, Kevin.
And my wife hollered out the answer from the other room about 5 seconds before Brent said it, darn it.
I'll give you a shot at this, all right? I'll give you another shot. Who discovered that there is a universe?
Who discovered that there is a universe.
Yeah.
You mean, like, scientifically or is
yep.
another?
Yep. Who scientifically discovered that there is a universe?
Copernicus?
No. Sorry about that.
The reason I say Copernicus because I participated in the Copernicus trials in high school in my physics class. So the whole thing was they were going to burn Copernicus at the stake for saying that the Earth rotated around the sun instead of the other way around.
Yeah, he discovered how the solar system was working, but he's not who discovered there is a universe.
Oh, darn, because I need to get the DVD. I'm going to have to start saving some pennies up or something, taking the trash out and getting paid for it.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, in keeping with the topics, I'm going to comment that I think one of the biggest difficulties everybody's having to try to get a grapple on all this is that it's everybody wants all this to be simpler than it is. In that, mm-hmm. like, have you ever tried to watch that movie Dune?
Yeah.
You know, okay. So if you think the movie's complicated, wait till you hear my wife try to explain the book. Oh my God, I wouldn't have the patience to read that book. There's so many factions and so many this. It's not clear cut. It's not cowboys and Indians, white hats and black hats. It's not that. You can't say. Like even Don a while ago said, we have this up there, and we have... What we? I know what he means. He means the U.S., but they don't consider us a part of them. You know, the military.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? The government. Which part of our government? Whose government? You know, it's not as cut and dried and simple as, you know, we'd like to be able to grasp it. Like I've said many, many times, people say, the aliens. What are the aliens up to? There is no the aliens. There's more factions of aliens, I think, than there are more than humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that complicates the issue immensely. And you know, I've been wanting to call in for a couple of weeks now and share this. This was something I picked up that you just got to hear.
All right.
I don't remember where this interview was, what TV show or what venue, but it was an interview with Eisenhower's daughter or granddaughter, one. I think it was his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody brought up the comment where he says the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this was not a discussion about aliens. It was a political discussion.
Okay.
And he said, actually, my dad was going to say the military-industrial congressional complex. But considering the venue where he was going to say it, he decided to cut out the congressional part rather than offend too many people. And I thought, boy, that changes the view of that a lot. Because a lot of people have the attitude that it's the military and the business versus the government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, they're all in it together.
Those people up there need to be offended. You don't get their attention until you offend them and scare them. And nothing scares them like they're not going to be reelected.
And you know, and I think the real thing is, you know, there are probably some members of Congress, usually freshmen members of both houses, but generally of the representatives, because most senators have been a congressman before. They get there, they have high ideals. They try to make a difference, and they find out if they don't play ball with the lobbyists and the chairmen of all the subcommittees and all that sort of thing, they hit a brick wall, and that's why they don't go back.
Yeah.
Excuse me, they don't get the money to get reelected to go back.
Yeah, well, you know, Congress has become everything Al Capone envisioned.
That's good. And, you know, I've always thought about this. Did you know that senators used to be elected by the state legislatures?
Yeah.
It wasn't too long ago that I learned that, and I thought, now why in the world would they change that? Because it's much easier to get elected by, shall we say, a dumbed-down populace than it is to pull the wool over a bunch of state legislators' eyes.
Yeah, well, it's a mess. We're so screwed up, we're never going to be unscrewed. What do you think about this deep space force?
Well, you know, I was listening to, I think it was Brent's comment about him being paranoid and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Brent. You know, well, I'm going to say some things that I know through, you know, experiences I've had. And I think you could kind of classify the people out there, quote-unquote, the aliens, which, you know, the aliens make them sound totally foreign, like they're new on the scene. They just appeared when many of them have been around for thousands of years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's three basic groups. There's I want to cash in on that going on down there. Gee, I'd like to help those poor people. And the other one's going, eh, you know, who cares what they do? Which really boils it down to two groups. The groups that care about what's going on down here, they're kind of other dimensional. They don't show up a lot in the physical. And they sort of keep their hands off on what everybody's doing. They've got like the Star Trek philosophy of non-interference. And I think the other group, they're the ones that have been doing the abductions and, you know, exchanging technology and playing with things. And I think the real truth that everybody misses is that particular group is the group that's behind everything that's going on in the military and, you know, things like that. So pointing satellites into deep space to see who's coming. Well, I don't think they're talking about the interdimensional ones because you said optical sensors.
That's correct.
You're not going to see things in another dimension. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about other physical, our dimensional aliens. Well, I would come to this conclusion. The common belief in the UFO circles is that 1947, the aliens crash in Roswell, we have a long conversation, somebody makes an agreement, and they decide to trade technology in exchange for the U.S. government turning a blind eye to them abducting people and conducting genetic experiments. Well, I think what happened was all the technology they traded them, they couldn't figure out how to make it all work. They had to figure out things on their own, and, you know, I think they're at odds with them. So, in other words, there's one group of aliens that they've already gone in cahoots with that now that the deal's gone bad, they realize they screwed up. That's who they may be paranoid of. That's who they may be turning sensors at and saying, you know, we need to watch for them.
Well, and look, there was a big hurry to get this done because this document came out in 2004. Now, that doesn't mean that that's when they started working on that system. They've probably been working on that system for decades. But 2004, and they said it had to be operational by 2010. All right? So the question that I would have then is, okay, why?
Yeah, because...
You know, what's up after 2010?
Yeah, and you may be right. It could be that maybe they're afraid of the other guys coming in a little more what I'll call conventional ships instead of, you know, other dimensional travel. But I go back to the story of, I believe, Eisenhower meeting with the, you know, the story, I guess it was Edwards, where they brought people in all walks of life, you know, ministers and bishops and, you know, all that, and
mm-hmm.
introduced them. And there was a group that just appeared. They didn't land their ship. They just appeared on the runway, and they said, we're the Aetherians. And what they bottom line said, we'll help you, but you got to give up the bomb. And they said, no way, take a hike. And that's when they made the agreement with the other group. Now, are these stories true? I don't know. You know, I read on the internet just like anybody else. But if that's true, what I'm getting at is, you know, the good guys, the ones that said give up the bomb, they said, okay, you told us to go away, so we're going to go away. But, you know, you may regret that decision. And I think they're to the point of regretting that decision. One way or the other. I think that's what a lot of this has got to be about, is one group is scrambling to maintain control, realizing that, you know, they may very well be about to lose the battle. I think one way or the other, the bad guys are going to destroy themselves or when I say bad guys, that's a bit of a judgment. The guys that want to maintain control over everyone else, they're going to maintain themselves right out of a job.
Oh, I think that's true. I mean, you look down through history, you can control people and oppress people only for so long. And then they get to a point where they say, I've got nothing left to lose. You guys are irrelevant. You don't matter to me. And when the whole population determines that, or when the majority of a population determines that their oppressors are irrelevant, those oppressors lose power and usually get lynched or shot.
Exactly. And I think the Aetherians or the other dimensionals or good guys, whatever you want to call these other aliens, I think that what they've turned around and done is approached people on an individual basis, people like me, who then if we turn around and try to report our contacts, you know, people immediately say, well, where'd the ship land? Show me the circle in the ground. Well, there is none of that. Well, how'd they talk to you? Well, a lot of it was telepathic. A lot of it I didn't remember until later in a dream. Oh, you're making it up. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, they dismiss people like me, and we go on. You know, like some of the other callers last night during Daniel Pace, that show, you know, the lady had an appearance in her bedroom. She was touched beyond belief, changed the course of her life, and she's quietly out there, like how many more that don't call in and tell you
yeah.
what it is, that we're one day going to wake up and, you know, I'll put it like this. You know the old saying, run it up the flagpole and see who salutes?
Yeah.
There's going to come a day of reckoning where the good guys will say, well, let's run this up the flagpole and see who salutes. There's going to be a whole lot more people saluting that than they have any clue, because we're just quietly out here just letting the rest of these guys do their thing. I don't worry about what NASA's doing or the military's doing because, you know, the old joke goes, I read the last chapter of the book already. I know where this is going to end up going. I know it sounds very biblical.
Oh, that isn't why I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I know that's the case. I know that those who their whole life is in orbit around the paradigm of controlling us, I know they are losing control. And we're headed for some rough times. But they're like the old cartoon of a cat trying to, you know, he's got his claws embedded in the wall, but he's still coming down the wall. That's what's happening. It's falling apart for them. They're in their death throes now.
You know, the irony of it is for the longest time, I kept thinking, surely they know they're not winning. But they don't know, Kevin. That's what I finally realized. They actually believe they think they can still win, you know, but... But I was going to say, you know, I know this sounds biblical, but I've been shown that what's happening, the whole 2012 is part of it. I mean, it's a much greater thing. But we're, make a long story short, we're hitting a point of a dimensional split. Everybody talks about a dimensional shift coming, but I actually see it as a dimensional split. It's like, how was it my wife put it? Everything has been a circle. It's all rotated around one consciousness, one group idea. But everything is splitting into two focuses, foci, however you say that.
Mm-hmm.
There's the group of people that have the general attitude of love, caring, and service to fellow man. Then there's the other group that lives in fear, want to control, and, you know, all that. And these two things are getting further and further apart. There's no more straddling the fence. It's like you meet somebody, you size them up, one side of the fence or the other on this. They're either self-involved, think of themselves first, or they're good folks that think about other people. And it's getting further and further apart. And what I'm suggesting is we're going to reach a point where I think this is going to literally cause some kind of split, a dimensional shift. And I'm going, you know, when I'm hearing all this, I finally went, wait a minute, this sounds familiar. This is Sunday school class, isn't it? Separation of sheep and goats, the wheat and chaff. And one day, one group will just disappear. And I'm going, oh. So, you know, maybe that is where we're going. And then it makes sense. There's one group of aliens trying to help people become more loving, caring, and in service to other people. And then there seems to be this other group that is unemotional, self-involved in for it, what they can get. And so it's almost like I see the river is about to split, and after it splits, you're either going to flow right into the arms of one group of aliens or the other. So I said all that to say, it's not that we're waiting on disclosure to happen, as in we're not waiting for the aliens to disclose themselves to us. They're waiting on us to disclose ourselves to them.
Interesting perspective on that. Interesting take.
Yeah, which group are you going to end up aligning with? And when you get there, then they'll reveal themselves to you. That's what I think.
Kevin, I appreciate the call. Very interesting.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thanks. Wow. That was heavy. That's some good stuff. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. And, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right, turn your radio down in the background and we'll come back to you in a second or two. It is separating. It is splitting. I don't know for sure where the splits are headed, but you can see that happening across the earth. All right, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
It is splitting. I don't know for sure.
Okay, still not ready to go. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, hold on a second.
Yeah, please turn it down. Folks, when you call in, turn that volume down because there is a delay, all right? I think that we lost that caller. I think, well, we didn't. I think the caller hung up. All right. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. We'd be glad to hear your thoughts, your comments on all of this. And all you have to do is push those buttons on that magic thing called a telephone, and it will transport you right into the studio. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kev, it's Deb from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Sorry about that. My sound locked up. I was having a problem with it.
Okay.
I know the answer to that question.
What's the answer to the question?
Who discovered the universe?
Uh-huh.
Galileo.
Nope.
Not Galileo.
No, not even close.
Oh, darn. Oh, well. I've already got gods in the garden anyway. Kind of interesting question tonight. I don't know. Geez. We need to put some more money to NASA, but, you know, it's like you said, NASA's got to change their tricks. They have to really start becoming serious about what they want to do with, you know, exploration, space exploration and everything like that. And, you know, if they're not, then they need to find something else to do then, you know, and then let a new agency come into being because...
Here's the thing. The way government works is government acts like a sponge and it draws power to itself. Every time you can cut anything civilian or anything that has citizen involvement, anytime you can cut that out, then what happens is the government just got more powerful. Now, with reference to space and space exploration, when you cut out NASA, which, although it is not fully civilian, it's as close as you get to civilian when it comes to space exploration, you cut that out, then all you have left is military in terms of the space program. That means the government just got more powerful. It's not going to give that away and start a new agency that's transparent and open and honest. So as long as you've got one in place, don't give it up. But reform how it does business and make it more open and honest.
Yeah, that's definitely true, though. But, see, they've got to look at it from this perspective. There's 7 billion people here on the Earth Mother right now. We're going to have to find, you know, other places to live. This is what we have to look at. And, you know, going to the moon is not going to do it. I mean, we've been booted off the moon. We've been told by the aliens that are there, by the star beings that are there, okay, you're here, we see you, now you have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the moon is, the moon's interesting, but I feel the moon's out. And the next one is Mars.
Mm-hmm. But you can't get to Mars unless you have a moon base.
Well, yeah, true, but I don't know if we're going to be able to have a moon base unless we have it on the other side, you know, where these bases that are already on there by the other star beings, you know.
Well, see, the deal is we don't have rockets big enough to lift just the water they have to carry with them to Mars.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well,
now, because you're talking about essentially a 2-year mission, maybe 2.5
true,
years.
True.
So just the water they have to have, we can't launch it from Earth. Now, what we can do is send a series of launches to a base on the moon carrying that cargo for a really big spaceship that's going to launch from the moon to Mars. We could do that. It does, you know, it doesn't take much to launch from the moon. You can just about jump into orbit there. Hey, we have a break. You want to hang on, or does that do it for you?
Yeah, sure.
All right, hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's go back to the telephone line. Debbie, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
Yeah, I agree with what you were saying, that, you know, we've got 7 billion people living here, and we need to find another place. Now, it's not as if we have to do that tomorrow, because most of the Earth is not inhabited, and most of the United States is not inhabited. That's something that's a shock to people. There are literally thousands upon thousands of square miles of the United States upon which no human foot, so far as we know, has ever stepped. Hasn't even been actually surveyed. Okay?
Well,
now, there's space. There's room. We have all kinds of laws that protect those areas because we say, you know, we want to protect these pristine wilderness areas and all that, and that's a good thing, and I'm for it, until people start getting hungry enough, and then those laws, whether they get rid of them or not, will have no effect at all. People will find a way to survive, and so they will move into those areas. However, once you've done that, maybe that's when we get to 14 million billion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just picking a number. Okay, so once we've done that, there's nowhere else to expand. And you're exactly right. We have to find other habitable planets and ways to get there. If we don't, then the human race as a species is doomed. We have to find a way to expand.
Right. I agree with the land. I agree with what you're saying on that. But we have to also look at our resources that we have available to us also.
Mm-hmm.
And they're slowly dwindling. I mean, with the rainforests being cut down, and I'm not going to go into the whole environmental thing, but with rainforests being cut down, we're having problems, you know, many with the weather systems and things like that because of that. Many of the countries are having problems with not being able to get enough food sources and the light.
Yeah, but look, almost all shortages are created artificially by government.
True.
Our government, and we're not the only one that does it, but our government pays farmers to leave their field alone. Don't plant anything.
Right.
And they pay them for that in order to artificially prop up prices on what is grown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have the capability on this planet of feeding absolutely every human on the planet and having a surplus left over. We have that capability, even right now. And every government on the face of the earth has that capability of feeding their people. Do you remember when Lyndon Baines Johnston infested the White House? I mean, inhabited the White House?
Yes, I remember. I was young at the time, but I do remember it, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. He had a program, Food for Peace. And this program was that they were going to give beef away. We had a surplus of beef, and they were going to give it away to all these countries in South America.
Right.
And help the starving people. And the South American governments got really upset because it would collapse the beef prices in their countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so it failed. All shortages are artificially created by governments. We have right now an oil field offshore in Alaska that has 8 times the oil of Saudi Arabia.
Hmm.
We can't punch a hole in it.
It's under protected waters, correct?
Yeah. There's nothing they can do with it. They can't get the oil because of the laws, okay? And it has 8 times the oil of Saudi Arabia.
Hmm.
Instead, we will send billions to Saudi Arabia to buy their oil. And you'll pay for it. All of this, all of that kind of stuff is artificially done by government. So the planet, while it is true, the planet is running out of resources, that's a relative term. It's running out, but there's enough there for everybody to have everything they need, absolutely everything they need, if governments were not artificially creating shortages.
True. If governments were a little more, a little less greedy and a little more giving. Definitely true.
Well, they don't even need to be giving. What they need to be is out of the way. They need to just step back, stay out of all this stuff, and let the natural course of things happen.
Let me ask you this, Kev. Then I'll get off the line so somebody else can get on. Where do you think the U.S. stands in creating sort of, I was talking about this before, other fuels that, or other means of propulsion to, you know, get the rockets up into space?
Well, first, I think they've already got them. Yeah, I think, first of all, they've already got them. I'm not just saying that off the cuff. There's actually some evidence, photographic, video evidence, and so forth, as well as testimonies of people that have worked in these programs. And so I think they've already got them. I don't think this space program that the Air Force outlined, I don't think it's at all fictional. And I think it is operational. And let me tell you what one of these things is. One of these things, and it's a near-term project, is called the Space Operations Vehicle. Enables on-demand space lift capability. In other words, if you say we need to launch, you can launch now. Actually, you can launch within 1 hour.
Interesting.
So that's not a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's called the Space Operations Vehicle, or the SOV. Mm-hmm. And it can launch within an hour. And it's reusable.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Well, maybe we should start using that, you know, and just... how large is it? Is it as large as, you know, like some of the Apollo rockets that have gone up? Or
it's bigger than that.
The vehicle.
Yeah, it's bigger than that because it can carry into orbit something called Common Aero Vehicle, CAV. And this Common Aero Vehicle is a glider like the space shuttle. So whatever this thing is big enough to carry that.
Oh, my. That is big.
Mm-hmm.
That's very big. All right, Kev, well, thanks for answering my question. You have a good night now.
All right. Thanks for the call. Okay. Open line tonight. What do you think about all this? If you got something else you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. But, you know, what I'm reading to you here, what I'm telling you here, is that things you thought were in the future happened in 2004. They're up there now. It's not the future. You know, we run an ad here on the KSS TV. It's a little promo for Steel Eye Media Network. And the caption on it says, "Where were you when the future arrived?" Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Julia from Texas.
Hi, Julia.
Listen, the term that you were reading, it was space forces.
Yeah, I want to read it to you. Let me just read exactly what this says.
Okay.
It is the space-based space surveillance system, a near-term constellation of optical sensing satellites to track and identify space forces in deep space to enable offensive and defensive counter space operations.
That's what I thought you said, the term space forces that
mm-hmm.
we're looking for.
Yeah.
Now, to me, they didn't say space intelligences or space people or space fairies. So to me, that immediately means that our slave masters, a.k.a. the governments on this planet, are fixing to clamp down on us like flies on rice. If people think that their governments are trying to control our lives now, you wait till they come out with this. That's what I think.
Well, based on the fact that in 2004 they classified this as a near-term project, which had to, that meant it had to be completed and deployed by 2010. It had to be operational. We're there.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That is so scary. I can't even tell you. Space forces?
Mm-hmm. So, what they're doing is this system looks into deep space. It doesn't look at Earth. It looks into deep space, and in order to track and identify space forces. So my question is, okay, so who's out there in deep space?
Right, and they've already told us by using the term for space forces that are out there, they're letting us know that they believe they're hostile.
That's what it appears.
Hostile, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it would appear.
I don't believe it. I don't believe all of them are. I don't believe that for a second. But I think it's just another control mechanism. I think they're going to clamp down like crazy.
Well, I think if you start shooting at those, whoever they are out there, even the most peaceful can become hostile if you start shooting at them.
Sure. And I would, too, to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. Oh, okay, Kevin. Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. If you happen to live outside of the USA, you happen to live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, as Clinton has, from Ireland. Clinton says, "The universe was discovered by ancient Greeks and Indians, when theories of an impersonal universe governed by physical laws were first proposed." Not quite, Clinton. Not quite. I think everybody's going to be surprised when I tell you about this. There's one from the USA. Okay. A second answer from Clinton in Ireland says a second answer would be no one discovered the universe, for it was never lost. And we are in it. That's a good point. But there is someone that discovered there is a universe. All right. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Mike from Kentucky. Kevin.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, this thing is getting better all the time.
Well, good.
A lot of this stuff that you're telling them there tonight is stuff, you know, you and I have talked about off air.
Mm-hmm.
And finally beginning to get out to the public, isn't it?
It is indeed.
So, wow. I just thought I'd let you know it. I am listening to this and I'm enjoying it.
Well, what do you think about who's out there in deep space? Break just took over. Hang on. I'll get you first up right after the break, okay?
Gotcha.
We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and let's go back to the telephone. We have Michael on the telephone. Mike, I had asked a question, so who is it out in deep space?
Well, you remember Jose Escamilla's movie Interstellar?
You know, that's one I haven't seen.
Well, it shows out way out in the depths of space, shows all of these different objects out there that look like some type of space stations, and some of them actually change shapes, like shapeshifters. And
well, is it humans or is it
system?
Is it humans or extraterrestrials?
That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody seems to know. Even Jose doesn't answer that question. All he shows is these different objects out in space that were taken through an amateur telescope. And it's kind of interesting to watch these things. And they're not in our solar system. They're out in deep space. So,
well, this flight plan that the Air Force filed in 2004 talks about by 2010 having this operational, where it's a constellation of optical sensing satellites to track and identify space forces in deep space.
Right.
For the purpose of offensive and defensive counter space operations.
Right. They're still following this shoot first and ask questions later.
Well, I don't know. I suspect that's true. But I do know that there's only two possibilities. Either it's us, humans, out there, or somebody's coming.
Well, that's what we were all about. We were about this ambassadorship, if you would, you know, and talk first and shoot later.
Mm-hmm.
And then that disappeared. Of course, we lost our director, so that disappeared.
Well, when you say we, who are you talking about?
AlphaCom.
Okay. I knew, but I wanted the audience to know that you, Dick Criswell, is not the only person that we hear from that was part of AlphaCom. You were part of AlphaCom as well.
Yes, and there are several others that were a part that listen to this show that don't call in.
Well, they need to.
Yeah, I know, but you know, some people would rather listen than talk.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what we were supposed to be expecting, but something happened and it didn't quite show up. And then we lost our leader, Michael. And so I don't know what's going to be. Dick seems to think that they're going to reform the group. It's what he told me and it's what he told you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would be a good thing for them to do it.
I would think so.
Yeah. especially if they figure that this had to be operational by 2010. That suggests that they think that shortly after that there's a need for it.
But we're only talking 4 months till 2010.
I'm pretty sure that a lot of the activity that Ed Grimsley has been talking about, that he has seen, I've seen it through night vision. Lots of people, thousands by now, have seen it through night vision goggles. A lot of that activity up there has to do with this stuff that we've been talking about here tonight.
Sure. What's the chances that what a lot of that is war games?
Could be.
You know.
Could be. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call.
Talk to you later, Ken.
All right. Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. We'll take one more call if you've been trying to get in. Now's a good time. I am going to solve the riddle for you about who discovered that there is a universe. Up until this person, up until his life and times, it was believed that all of those lights in the sky out there were all just part of, you know, it's just one big mass. Okay? We call it the Milky Way. No one had any idea that there were galaxies other than this. It was all those lights were just part of one big mass. Well, they're not part of one big mass, and there are many of those. You see a little point of light, but that one little point of light is in actuality a galaxy with billions of stars. The person that discovered that, and this may come as a shock to you, check it out, you'll find out it's true, was Edwin Hubble in the 1920s. Up until the 1920s, it was believed that it was all just one big mass. There was no concept that there are other galaxies millions and billions of light years away from this galaxy. Edwin Hubble discovered that there was something more than the Milky Way in the 1920s. So every time you hear astronomers or people who have that nose in the air academia attitude, and they start talking about how much we know this and we know that, and this what you're saying couldn't be true because we know this and this and this is true. Until the 1920s, these brilliant boys didn't even know there was a universe. Okay? And up until 1995, they were telling us there were no planets in any other star systems, that this is the only place where there were planets revolving around a star. Up until 1995, that's what they were telling. So these brilliant boys of academia, intellectual mudsuckers, get it wrong about 1,000% of the time. Think about that the next time you see one that's dissing the intelligence of anyone who happens to think that there is the possibility of intelligent life out there in the universe. When they're dissing the possibility that there are inhabited planets out there, when they're dissing the possibility that some of those have come to visit us, just remember, up until the 1920s, they didn't even know there was a universe. That floors me, but it's the truth. Edwin Hubble is the person that discovered, hey, you know what? There is a universe. It's not just the Milky Way. There is a universe out there. And boy, is it big. It's a lot bigger than he thought it was, too. And up until 1995, there's no other planets. Well, now we know something like around 350 other planets that have been discovered. And so when they're saying, well, you know, it's just not possible that there could be any of these extraterrestrials coming in here from other star systems, it just wouldn't be possible. That's the same guys that didn't know there was a universe. Think about that. That's the same guys that thought there were no other planets out there around other stars. So just how accurate are their statements when they say it's not possible for those intelligent beings to get here? I would suggest to you that just about anything they say is not possible was already accomplished maybe centuries ago. All right, I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. We do open line, try to do open line once a week. I always look forward to it. Thank you for every person who called. Thank you to every person who sent a flash message. You're the greatest. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.